I go through life thinking about how can I be somebody who gives because I want to and because I can and without that expectation. Yep. I'm also somebody who's willing to receive. Oh. And I give myself permission to ask.
Welcome to Brave by Design. I'm your host, Laura Khalil. I'm an entrepreneur, coach, and speaker. I love thinking big, exploring the power of personal development, and sharing the best strategies from thought leaders and pioneers in business to empower ambitious women and allies to bravely rise and thrive. Let's get started.
Everyone, welcome to this episode of Brave by Design. We're going to have so much fun today talking about something that most people do not understand. Okay? That is about how we network, how we connect, how we build our influence and impact. And guess what? I have brought the expert on to talk to you about it. Without further ado, let me introduce to you Michelle Tillis Letterman, one of Forbes' top 25 networking experts. She is the author of four books, including the internationally known The 11 Laws of Likeability, and her latest, The Connector's Advantage. Michelle is a connection creator and CEO of Executive Essentials, which provides customized communications and leadership programs for Fortune 500, nonprofit, university, and government clients. A former finance executive and NYU professor. What, Michelle? She is a regular in the media, appearing on NBC, CBS, Fox, NPR, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, CNBC, and others. Holy mackerel. Michelle is known for helping people work better together and advance their individual impact. Michelle, welcome to Brave by Design.
Thank you. And I love your energy. That was like just so much fun to listen to.
Like, we just have to have fun. You know, here's the thing about the show. I only bring on people I'm excited to bring on. And that's the truth. So, you know, I'm excited to hear about you. And I think our audience is going to be really excited about today's topic. But let me start here, because we're going to talk about how we connect and how we network, but let's talk about this sort of elephant in the room, which is sometimes networking can sort of be seen as a four-letter word. It can be seen as really slimy, and like I'm a, you know, used car salesman. No offense to the used car salesman listening. I'm sure there's none of you, but you know what I'm saying? Like, people kind of like feel gross about it. And can we just like talk about that? Why do people have networking so misunderstood?
I'm so glad you brought this up, because I'll tell you a little secret. The subtitle to my first book is Relationship Networking, because people do business with people they like. The relationship networking piece was not originally in the subtitle. The publishers made me put it in for SEO and searchability. They're like, you have to have the word networking there. I'm like, but I hate that word. It has the word work in it. Who wants to do it?
Yes, it has the word work in it.
And I'm like, but that's not really what it's all about. He's like, well, what is it all about? I'm like, relationships. And so we compromised, and I came up with this idea of relationship networking, which is how I want people to shift the thinking, because of all that yucky used car salesman, slimy, manipulative, fake, you know, user, all those words that I hear about how people feel about doing it. But if we shift to a relationship networking approach, it won't be any of that. And we won't feel any of that. So I think it's understanding, you know, moving from this idea of networking. And that's kind of why I wrote the follow-up book, The Connector's Advantage, because it takes us to that place of being a connector. And networking is something we do, but a connector is who you are.
Oh my God. Tell me more, Michelle. What does that mean? I love it.
So a connector is somebody who prioritizes relationships in everything that they do. In their approach to work, in their approach to business, people, friends, every interaction, in putting a focus and a priority on the relationship and that interaction and that exchange. And when we do that, all the other things will follow. We don't think like, okay, now I'm going to flip the switch and now I'm going to network. And let me, I'm going to laugh here. This is just a small smattering of the business card graveyard on my desk that I could pick up in that quick moment. And it's not about let's hand out how many cards and collect how many cards. It's about connecting in conversation in a moment, finding our follow-up and actually following up and moving from conversation to connection. And we do that through these mindsets. And when we embody those mindsets and those attributes of a connector, it don't feel slimy.
Now, does this work? Okay, so anticipating, there are some people who are listening to this and saying, okay, that sounds good, but I'm an introvert. I get nervous around people. I don't like to be around people. And maybe I can agree with you. What do you say to the introverts or the people who are a little shy to put themselves out there?
Can I tell you that most of my audiences, I do so much work in IT. I married IT. So I have good news for the introverts. And I actually wrote a section of the book called Good News for the Introverts. And in this book, I wrote a section of the book called The Introvert's Edge. And what I want introverts to understand is networking, connecting doesn't have to look a certain way. And it certainly doesn't have to look like the life of the party. You know, one of the mindsets that I talk about is being social and curious. But I want to be very clear on what I mean by that. I don't mean social butterfly. I do not mean life of the party. I do not mean the one who's conducting the conversation. Social means putting yourself in a position, in a situation, in an interaction in which you can connect with somebody else. That's what I mean by social. And curious just means that you're willing to learn about somebody else. So think about how that looks for you and what that makes you look forward to, right? So some people feel better on virtual, which, you know, in recent times is the only way.
That's what we're doing.
But there's three advantages or edges I talk about with the introvert. First of all, they're great listeners, right? They make people feel heard. They ask probative questions. Their curiosity is so ingrained and their ability to listen and to play off of that. I mean, that is foundational to connection and something those extroverts, you know, I'm one. Well, you know, I might be one of those that we could learn from. Right? The second is that introverts are best in the one-on-one.
Right.
So they like the small groups. They like the intimate interaction where there's not a whole crowd of people around. Well, that's where connection really happens. It doesn't happen in the big groups. So that's another advantage. And the third is that introverts don't tend to be what I call off-putting. And I'm not trying to insult the extroverts out there, but you know, as one, I can understand that sometimes we can be a bit much.
Yeah.
And I've literally had people like step back from me. You know, we can come out a little strong or just, you know, kind of take up all the breath in the room sometimes, depending on how far on the extrovert scale we might be. And, you know, so it can be polarizing. And what we can learn as extroverts is to take a page out of the introvert's book and to let somebody else speak first, to take a breath, to ask a question and not always fill up all that silence.
Wow. You know what? Okay. This is so interesting, Michelle, because I know for a lot of people listening to the show, they're thinking, oh, Laura's a, you know, public speaker. She's so outgoing. She's, you know, doing the show, talking to people. I am actually a very serious introvert. All of the traits that you were just describing of the introvert, of listening, of asking questions, of being curious, of preferring one-on-one, I'm like, check, 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 check. I mean, it really, really hits home. And I love how you have been able to take, you know, those traits of introverts and use them as an advantage.
Absolutely. And look at what you are, such a great example. Some of the best connectors I know are introverts. You're a great example of how to take our natural gifts and use them in a way to connect. You connect with people all the time through your show.
Yeah.
But you're doing it in a way that works for you. You are home.
I'm home.
You are comfortable, right? You are in a one-on-one conversation where you get to ask questions and you don't have to reveal as much about yourself, which can sometimes make the introvert feel a little uncomfortable. So one tip I will give those introverts out there is I believe in building on our strengths and I believe in finding our way to do it. I also believe in stretching ourselves a little bit. So I just want you to go a little outside your comfort zone. So,
okay, Michelle. I'm ready. What do we do?
So like before we got on, I saw a picture of her with a dog and she told me she has two dogs and I have two dogs. So I just wanted to dive right in and be like, well, what kind of dogs do you have? So I want the introverts out there, and you included, because you're going to answer the question in a second about what kind of dogs you have. It's not too personal a question, right? And so when we as introverts ask questions, we want to make sure that we're willing to share the similar type of information to the information we're seeking so that we can do what I call the dance, listen and probe, listen and ask, and listen and share, listen and tell.
Now, let me ask you this. Okay, so I have one dog. We actually used to have two in the house.
Okay.
But I have one, and she's a Labradoodle. She's adorable. Oh. She looks like a Muppet. So thank you for asking, Michelle. But one question I want to ask you is, I think that one of the things that really bothers introverts, and I can say this bothers me, is when we inquire and we're really listening to the other person, but we do not feel that we are receiving back from them the same level of interest. And so is it on us to put ourselves out there and to say, well, and here's this thing about me, because some of us have a tendency to say, well, I'll wait for them to ask me about myself.
So
and sometimes they don't.
I mean, that's a really great observation. And I appreciate that, because a lot of times the extroverts get blamed for doing all the talking, but somebody's asking the questions and we're trying to answer them. And so right. It's the responsibility of both parties in an interaction to do the dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
It takes two to tango.
Okay.
So when you are asking questions, you don't want to be interrogating somebody. You don't want to machine gun questions at them and then somebody feels like, I have to answer.
Right.
Okay, what's next? What's next? I'm ready.
Right. No. Right? You're under interrogation. You know,
yeah.
The lights
are
light
in your face,
on
right?
you. Yeah, nobody likes that.
So as an introvert, that might be our comfort zone to ask the questions. And an extrovert knows how to answer them. We need to sometimes step out of that role. So whatever role your tendency is towards, make sure you're interspersing the opposite.
Okay.
So I want the introvert to find a way to shift. So instead of we're waiting for the next question, you might say, oh, you know, it's an interesting answer. It made me think about this time when I dot, dot, dot.
Right.
And so you intersperse, jumping off of what you heard. You're showing you're listening and you are just kind of navigating that conversation so that you can give a share.
I love it.
And when you answer a question as an extrovert, what you might say is, well, what about you? Like, just, do you feel the same way? Or what did you think? Or I would love to get your take on that.
Mm.
You know, just a little, and you goes a long way.
And what about you? I absolutely love that. Now, I'd love for you to tell us more about, let's sort of like zoom out for a second and talk a little bit about the profound effects that you've seen with your clients and community around connecting. Can you tell us like a story of how this has impacted maybe a client of yours? And I really want people to see the value of doing this kind of thing.
I'll actually tell a personal story.
Okay.
Everybody out there is going to have, as they listen to this story, I want you to think about your own story, because if you think about something you're proud of, something you accomplished, whether it's getting a job or a promotion or whatever it might be, starting a business, landing a client, getting into a school, there are so many people we have to thank along that way. And if you are standing, visualize yourself on that stage with that audience, holding that award, that trophy of accomplishment, and you're giving your thank you speech. Now, all of a sudden, all these people are flooding into your mind.
Mm.
And so we all have that. I don't need to prove it to you through a story. You prove it to yourself with that visualization.
Mm.
But, you know, I can think about any accomplishment in my life. So like thinking about the books behind me, my first book, I actually went with American Management Association as a publisher, even though I had an offer from McGraw-Hill.
Oh.
Because I did training for the American Management Association, and I went upstairs and I introduced myself to the editor and we became friends. And I wanted to work with the person I was going to be friends with.
Yeah.
And I chose a smaller publisher. My second book up here, you can't really see it, but it's called Heroes Get Hired. It's a free book for veterans. And it was actually produced by NBC, NBC
okay.
Digital Arm. It happened because my sister walked into a restaurant, ran into her old boyfriend from middle school, who just happened to be the head of NBC Digital Publishing.
What?
Yes. And so April, my sister, was talking to Michael, and he goes, and she said, my sister just wrote a book. And he said, get her in my office. On December 6th, I had my meeting with Michael at NBC on the 26th floor. And he's like, well, I want to do something with your book. I said, well, you can't. The publisher owns all the rights. I'll just write you your own book.
Oh my gosh.
And then I was like, oh my God, what did I just say?
now I have to do it.
I know. And so we brainstormed a book and they love the idea of helping veterans back into the workplace, because I think over a 5-year period, 1 million veterans, 1 million service members are reintegrating into the civilian workplace. And it's a really hard transition.
Yes.
And so we got the Blue Sky idea to give it away to veterans for free. So then I went to my clients, and Citibank, one of my clients, funded the whole project.
Wow.
And so this is the, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, every story is about how we connect. And so we were able to produce this book with NBC, with two veteran organizations, with a cast of veterans. There's 20 videos integrated into the ebook, and it's free.
That's incredible.
So that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, you are like a super connector.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you use that phrase. Because one of the things that I put together in the book, in chapter 3 of the book, is the connector spectrum.
Tell us more.
Everything from the non-connector to the global super connector.
Okay.
And I actually have a quiz, and I'll make sure you have it for your show notes, where people can see where they fall on the spectrum.
Oh my gosh. I want to take this quiz.
it's already out there, but I'm making it really pretty. And okay. By the time this airs, it's going to be on the website. And if you just go to my website, which we'll put up in the show notes, you'll be able to see where the quiz is.
So Michelle, does this go from like 1 to 7? And 1, is it sort of a scale of like from extreme connection all the way down, funneling down to people who don't connect at all? Is that how it works?
So the 7 mindsets are different from the levels of the spectrum.
Gotcha.
So I want to separate those 2 things. So the 7 mindsets of the connector are the ways in which we think and embody these mindsets that are descriptive of how a connector behaves. Okay.
Okay.
So talk about those 7 mindsets.
Yeah.
But let me explain the spectrum, because the spectrum is kind of 4 main levels, and then there's some special ones.
Okay.
So a non-connector, which is like, unless you are never going outside, never on the phone, never on the internet, never want to have contact with any other human being, right? You're probably not a non-connector.
Okay. So is that pretty uncommon?
It's a pretty extreme, right?
Okay.
At a minimum, if you at least value relationships and understand the benefit of relationships in your life, to your health, to your happiness, to your professional success, to your personal success, then you are at least an emerging connector. An emerging connector is one that understands that value, but hasn't necessarily developed the skills or starting to develop those skills.
Okay.
Now, there's 2 levers that we pull to move our way up the spectrum. Lever number 1 is the initiation or responsiveness of connections. So when we are responding to people asking for help, responding to people who are being introduced to us, we are considered a responsive connector. So I act on it, but only if somebody else is doing the initiation.
Gotcha.
If we start to initiate, I initiate, hey, I got to introduce you to so-and-so, or, oh, you know, I have this thing that I think you would love. I'm trying to create value. I'm suggesting it. When I am doing a little bit more of that, I become an acting connector. And that's great. If we get to acting connector, be happy. You're good.
Okay.
Now, when we kind of play with the other lever, which is the breadth and depth of our connections, that's when we kind of go into the upper echelons, is what I call it. So my sister is a great example of what I call a niche connector. A niche connector who has somebody who has a depth of connection in a certain either geographic region, in a certain industry, in a certain job function, something like that. Like, for example, you might be a niche connector in the world of podcasting.
Right.
I know all the podcasters.
Yeah. I can hook you up, girlfriend.
Right. I know podcasters and all the different things you need in the world of podcasting. Mm-hmm. That's a niche.
Right. Yep.
When you go not just deep, but broad in terms of hierarchy, industry, geography, function, all of that, then that's when you are a super connector. And if you cross your country's borders, that's when you're a global super connector.
Wow. Okay. So no matter what kind of connector you are, and we'll put the quiz up so you guys can find it, all of these connectors, they do embody these mindsets you're going to talk about. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us more about the mindsets.
Okay. So there's 7 mindsets. I'm going to count them so I see if I can get them all.
Okay. I'm looking at them too. So I'll catch you if we miss.
You'll tell me if I miss them. All right. I'll try to do it in order to make it life easy.
Okay.
Open and accepting.
Okay.
They have a clear vision. They trust. They believe in abundance. They are social and curious. They're conscientious and they have a generous spirit.
Good job, Michelle. You nailed it, girlfriend. I love it. I love that. And, you know, I love, especially when you talk about they believe in abundance, because I think there's so many people who do come from more of a scarcity mindset, who are afraid if I don't make this connection or it doesn't work out or they don't respond or I don't get what I quote unquote want out of it, that, you know, that's it. And what am I going to do? And it's like, no, there's tons of people to connect with. There's tons of opportunities out there for you. If this one doesn't work out, the door is wide open to other things. I love all of them, but that just really just immediately hit me because I think people are afraid this is my only chance.
Well, scarcity is scary. And the reason why this is actually one of the hardest mindsets, and it's one of the hardest ones for me personally. Mm. And I share my background in the book where I grew up not the way I live now, let's just say.
Okay.
And when you have scarcity, whether it's scarcity of funds or scarcity of clients or scarcity of whatever it is, it's real, it's tangible, we feel it, we feel the pain, and it influences us. Pain is more influential than gain.
Wow.
And so it drives our behavior at a ratio of 19 to 1. If pain is driving our behavior, we believe in this pain, it's very hard for scarcity not to drive our thinking, our decision-making, and our actions. Coming from a place of abundance is what I strive for, and I have to continually practice it. It's almost like meditation. I have to practice the mindset of abundance. And I do that by practicing gratitude. I do that by, you know, there's some ideas within the book of thinking about how do you kind of come from abundance. Because I've been in that place where a friend of mine landed this awesome client, and I was like, I was jealous.
Right, sure.
I was like, I want that client. How did they get that client? You know? And it's okay to have those moments, mm-hmm. but it's how long you stay in those moments. And if you can shift yourself out of them. And I was able to say, you know what? I'm so happy for you. How did you do it? I need to learn from you.
Well, there you go.
And understand there is enough. Understand you are enough. Don't compare yourself against other people. And really, I don't think of anybody as a competitor. I think of everybody as a strategic partner.
I love that. Oh, I love that. People, I hope you hear that. That's really powerful.
And it's a really different mindset because, you know, and I sometimes look back at all of the things I've done for people in my industry and connections I've made and the work that they've gotten out of it that I wasn't part of. And there's moments where I was like, oh, you know, I let myself, you know, not be a part of that. And then I thought, you know what? I created all this good. And that's that idea of a generous spirit because these mindsets are not isolated, right? Mm. A mindset of abundance enables a generous spirit and vice versa.
You know, one of the things I really do believe is you get what you give. And if you have a stranglehold on, you know, your knowledge, your information, your gifts with the world and how you share them and how you connect with people, you're just going to get that right back. And it's really hard for people to grow when they're always trying to grab what's mine, right?
Yeah. So I want to give one twist to that idea because you say you get it back, but I want to think about it being exponential. Mm. And so I think of all of this as very nonlinear. You know, somebody introduced us and I can go look up, figure out who it was, but I'm not sitting there going, oh, I owe that person something because they put us.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah.
But what I am doing is thinking about who is the next person I can help. And if I go through life thinking about how can I be somebody who gives because I want to and because I can and without that expectation. Yep. I'm also somebody who's willing to receive. Oh. And I give myself permission to ask. And it's hard, you know, even for me, it's hard to ask and to receive.
For many women, it is.
I tell myself I got to practice what I preach, you know? Mm-hmm.
So Rachel, I love that.
Nature.
I love that. And it's, you know, it's funny as you're talking, it's a really a beautiful, like mindfulness practice as well. I mean, that's what I hear when you're talking is this beautiful mindfulness practice of being open to receiving, being open to giving and to the beautiful abundance that is present for all of us on the planet. If you choose to see life that way.
You know, I don't want this to, I mean, yes, but I don't want all of this to be like, I have to be all about everybody else. Uh-uh. The book is called The Connector's Advantage. And the advantage is that you are going to get results faster, easier, and better.
Mm.
Right. And so what I'm saying is when you embody these mindsets, including all that great giving stuff,
yeah,
it happens. It does, as I said, that exponential result. But one of the mindsets is have a clear vision. And you need to know what you're working on, what you want, what you're trying to accomplish, whether it's small. Like at one point I was like, I just want to hit 100 reviews on my book. That was my goal. That was it. I hit 100 reviews. I'm really happy. yes. I still want more. Now we're going for 200. So if you read the book, honest reviews are welcome. But it doesn't have to be a huge, big thing. Like one time it was, I want to meet Michelle Obama.
Did it happen?
So I spoke to her chief of staff while she was in office.
Cool.
And I was told that she was made aware of the Heroes Get Hired book because veterans was one of her causes. So I didn't get to meet her or speak to her, but I got one degree away.
That is awesome.
Because I was really clear. And people were like, well, I might be able to help you here. And I know this person there. So my point is, have a clear vision of what you're working on. I want you to go out there and say, what do you need? How can I help? Who do you want to know?
Yep.
And then most people with a connector's mindset will reverse that question and say, and you?
Exactly.
Coming full circle to our conversation.
That is the truth. They will. And not everyone does that, but people who get it will.
And you have to have an answer ready. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to get the connector's advantage, you need to know what your goals are.
100%. Michelle, oh my God, we could just talk for hours, girlfriend. I love this stuff.
This is a good one.
This was a good one. Please let us know, how can people find out more about you and more about your books and the connector's advantage?
Well, I love hearing from listeners, and you have to tell me that you are on Badassery. And the best place to start is on my website. It's Michelle with two L's, Tillis, T-I-L-L-I-S, Lederman, L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N.com. And from there, you can find my LinkedIn, which is my favorite social media platform. And all the other ones are there too. My YouTube channel, my blog, you'll find the quiz. You can, I give all this good stuff away. And there's a link in the show notes about all the free giveaways. Like I give a chapter to, I think, three of the four books behind me. I give a video series. I give the quizzes. I got lots of stuff.
I love it. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us on Brave by Design.
Thanks for having me.
I want to thank you for joining me. And remember to subscribe through your favorite app so you can stay up to date. And I would love your review. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and comment on Apple Podcasts. You can also keep in touch with me online. You can find me on LinkedIn, and I'm also on Instagram at Force of Badassery. All that information will be available in the show notes. Until next time, stay brave.